This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a new natural product from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response: elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation. And zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is an all-natural, science-based formula and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is the author of a new book. It's entitled Regenerate, Unlocking Your Body's Radical Resilience Through the New Biology. And resilience, I think, is the watchword for 2020 as we confront the coronavirus pandemic. And Sayer G is also founder of Green Med Info, which is a wonderful repository of information about natural and innovative therapies. He's also a staunch advocate of health freedom, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Sayer, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's my honor. I love that branding, by the way, Intelligent Medicine. It's really right on point.
Well, yeah, you know, we really certainly believe in natural therapies, but, you know, we believe in the best of both worlds. You know, if there's an expedient and safe conventional therapy, we'll talk about it. You know, we're sort of equal opportunity criticizers. Because, you know, there's a lot to be critiqued in conventional medicine, as you know, but there's also some excesses of natural medicine. So we try to name names and point things out. But, you know, first of all, let's clear up what I consider sort of the elephant in the room for today's discussion. You know, you wrote the book Regenerate, Unlocking Your Body's Radical Resilience Through the New Biology. And the book was launched early in the year, only to encounter the coronavirus pandemic. And you've been, you know, obviously that involves a little bit of a change in strategy because, you know, a message about general ways of preserving health kind of gets drowned out amidst a pandemic crisis. But for this discussion, yeah, I want to deal with what I consider sort of the elephant in the room for any discussion with you, because you have been, in particular you, but you've been representative of many people in the integrative community who's been subject to a great deal of censorship. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about the issue of censorship and how that's affected you as you've tried to get your message across.
Yeah, thank you. Well, censorship is an interesting thing to run up against because, you know, really all I've ever done with Green Med Info is just curate abstracts from the, you know, the public domain and index them in such a way that people could hopefully access them more easily than jumping, you know, into the 30 million citation sea of PubMed.gov, you know, without any assistance. So, you know, to find myself at the sort of center of a censorship agenda back last year, it was actually in May. We were kicked off MailChimp, you know, which just sounds like a funny email provider, but it's, you know, it's enterprise level. I think they were doing like $500 million in revenue. And, anyway, it turns out that they were themselves CDC, foundation funding partners. So it made sense because the reason that they gave us was that we had anti-vaccine content. And it's interesting because really I haven't, that I know of, promoted a sort of an anti-vaccine agenda. Actually, quite the contrary, because one of the nonprofit organizations that I've co-founded, the Stand for Health Freedom, is actually pro-vaccine choice in the sense that if you're pro-vaccine or against vaccines, we just want you to have, you know, the right to choose and have informed consent. So there wasn't anything explicitly, I think, true about what they were saying, but I think this issue's become so politicized that you're not really entitled to an opinion medically any longer.
And have you found that your traffic has been throttled down, or not maybe outright banned, but shadow banned, you know, because the algorithm can be adjusted to change your messaging from a steady stream into a trickle? I mean, they have ways of doing that. And, you know, I've seen some statistics on some of the major sites, yours included, Mercola is among them. You know, we've been affected to some extent, perhaps less than you. But definitely, there's something going on here, right?
Yeah, in fact, what happened, so May, we got kicked off of MailChimp without any...
That's for your newsletter. That's for your direct mail.
Exactly. And so, and then in June is when Google went through their update, where basically sites like Mercola.com, which were highly dependent on Google organic search traffic, you know, when people put searches in for, say, turmeric, you know, he's getting millions of visits a year. And so what happened is overnight, 99.9% of that traffic was pulled from Google. And most people in our space, myself included, saw significant reductions in our traffic. And so really what ultimately it reveals is that there isn't a fundamental fairness any longer in what is presented, that unfortunately most of the search engine results are manipulated. And by the way, this was something that was identified by Dr. Epstein. He identified something called the search engine manipulation effect and found that about 25% of the world's recent elections were probably determined solely by what Google was choosing to present as a search result. And so that's something that's come out that's actually got a lot of
Elections, in other words, in the realm of politics, as well as in the realm of health, you know, advocating natural remedies and alternatives to pharmaceutical fixes.
Yeah, because so when you think about it, the moment someone is most curious and vulnerable, they don't know something, they go to Google, right? It's become, you know, obviously, you know, a dictionary word, and they search and they assume that what comes up as an auto suggestion represents search traffic on a topic. So Google was doing things like putting in suggestions, like if you type in chiropractors are, they suggest quacks or supplements are
complete
dangerous.
The sentence. They would complete the sentence for you.
And then when you went on their other product, which is Google Trends, and you did search traffic analysis, you found that actually those auto suggests were not accurate, even though they themselves say they should reflect actual traffic. So essentially, they're lying in order to manipulate the public's opinion and their choices and behaviors. And when Dr. Epstein found this result, it's almost, the implication is almost criminal when it comes to, you know, see, the thing, tech platforms are protected under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. So they technically can say that they're not inhibiting your free speech because they have a platform that's immune to liability and politics, but technically they are manipulating it. And you know, there's a lot of people who think that they shouldn't be indemnified any longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, there was an article recently, and it has to do with the kinds of searches that people put in when they say they have a headache or when they have, you know, knee pain or something like that. And they put in, you know, a Google search like knee, you know, put in the keywords. And what they determined is that in fully 2/3 of cases, Google was wrong in terms of the options that it spelled out for people. Often, you know, very dire medical options, but usually options that are amenable to surgical or pharmaceutical fixes. There's a bias there. Why do you think that this has happened? I mean, is this a reaction to anti-vaxxer hysteria? Or is there a concerted effort to, you know, by the, say, Quackbusters, to influence, places like Wikipedia? They certainly have had an influence there in terms of, you know, when you look up chiropractic or you look up naturopathy, you see a very, very biased description of these fields, you know, that they're unscientific or that they are, you know, based on, discarded, theories and, you know, so on. It very pejorative generally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great question. So what we do know is that just a few years ago, I think it was 2018, GlaxoSmithKline signed a very public deal with Google's parent company, Alphabet, for something like $700 million in advertising. And then we know that Alphabet also now co-owns, you know, vaccine patents and has just all these, you know, very deep relationships with pharma, basically. So of course, it doesn't in any way serve the agenda to present natural substances as somehow beneficial and safe and effective and available, when in fact it runs so diametrically opposed against certain business and control objectives. So, you know, one could say that's a conspiracy, but honestly, if you look at all the reporting on this, it makes sense. If I was GlaxoSmithKline and Google, I wouldn't be putting, you know, my search results top in Google either. So it's just human nature to, you know, want to benefit from this sort of arrangement.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. There's never been a more important time to ensure your immune system is operating at its peak. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a new natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, created exclusively to help promote a better immune response. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea. Future Farm's elderberry with zinc and echinacea is the first to combine these three powerful ingredients together. Elderberry is packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and may boost your immune system. Echinacea has been shown to activate chemicals in the body that decrease inflammation, and zinc activates T lymphocytes. Low zinc has been associated with increased susceptibility. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Elderberry with zinc and echinacea is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free forum of information that you can access at no cost to you. And now back to our guest, Sayer G., founder of Green Med Info. I don't know. I guess, you know, there's some earnest young screeners or people who are content reviewers who maybe, you know, they have an inherent bias towards conventional medicine. You know, among the people who review these are not responsible spokespersons from the world of integrative medicine. I mean, I don't know how their panels are constituted who make these determinations. Some of it's done just mechanically by algorithm. You know, if you use the wrong word, all of a sudden you're booted. You know, if it involves human interaction, you know, just as in the realm of politics, there should be content reviewers who reflect a spectrum of views. And it doesn't seem like that's happening when it comes to content about integrative medicine and natural therapies.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand, like, from the perspective of, like, FDA approval, you can't approve a natural substance that hasn't been clinically evaluated and, you know, capitalized with what, on average, $11 billion required for phase 1, 2, 3 trials to approve a substance as effective and safe. So, you know, it's the whole system is unfortunately biased against ancient, safe, food-based medicine. And that's just the way it is. So, I understand why people are deluded on this topic.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this has reached a fever pitch now during the coronavirus pandemic because, you know, there's a lot of content that is, you know, angry, controversial, you know, people saying, the hell with it, let her rip, you know, the coronavirus is a trumped up conspiracy. And I use the word advisedly, Trump, you know, because that's a buzzword. And so in the name of, quote, protecting the public, some of these major social media outfits are trying to screen out what they term fake health news. But that's a slippery slope, too, right? Because, some stuff is, frankly, I see it, it's outrageous. I try to push back against some of the more outlandish claims and just to inform my audience that, you know, I'm not signing on to that. Some of it is in the realm of, you know, free expression. You know, there's some ideas out there that we need to examine and debate. And, you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant when it comes to facts. And if people are saying stuff that's wrong, it should be out there. You know, you can push back. You can debate it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a parentification, I believe, that's going on just globally, because the assumption that somehow we don't have the faculty or right to be able to, you know, consider something and make a choice, that information somehow has to go through the Ministry of Truth, and there's only one narrative that, you know, can rule them all. I mean, unfortunately, and that's what we're seeing now put into practice with, you know, the conventional germ theory now being what I believe is weaponized against us as a political instrument. Because, you know, when it comes to the discovery of the virome, of course, you're someone who's helped to educate people about the microbiome and different ways of looking at how viruses even function, in terms of them conferring certain essential survival advantages, even.
I just read an astonishing statistic. You know, we talk about the $3 trillion bailout, and we go, we can't even conceive of numbers that big. I read that there are, in the human body, in the average human body, at any given time, the healthy human body, there are 135 trillion viruses. And this is, you know, as part of our, what's called, you know, we have the microbiome, but we also have the virome, you know, our own constellation of viruses that, you know, do various things in the body. They're not necessarily benign or harmful, but they are part of, you know, how our flora functions on our skin, in our mucous membranes, in our gastrointestinal tracts.
Yes. Well, this is an extremely important point, because if people start to understand just the sheer volume of viral particles found in healthy tissue throughout our body, and actually on our body, on our surface of our skin, this notion that there's just one virus, right, that presently the whole world has stopped all socioeconomic activity over to save us, right, from certain death, you start to realize that this is really based more on almost like a medieval mythology or superstition, that there's absolutely no evidence that I know of that even clearly shows that they ever identified through the Koch postulates an original sort of patient zero case of a singular virus, a COVID-19, being responsible for what they're calling the pandemic symptoms. So in other words, there's over 100 known coronavirus strains that are naturally circulating throughout human communities, seven of which are known to cause the common cold. Mm-hmm. So this concept that they somehow followed these postulates and isolated the singular, you know, lethal virus, which we now know obviously isn't more lethal than the seasonal flu. These are based on stats that even Fauci recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine a month ago. It's only 0.1% case fatality. By the way, the case fatality rate itself is way overblown, because the WHO and the U.S. vital statistics agencies don't require virus testing for confirmed COVID death cases. So none of the numbers actually indicate that this is even as lethal as a seasonal flu. And yet the whole world is still completely in paralysis over it. So when you start seeing it through the lens of the virome and realize that actually it's not even possible to prove that a virus is causing people to die, when 99% in Italy, for example, were already sick and elderly. In fact, 50% had three chronic lethal disease diagnoses, and the average age of death was 78 when their life expectancy is 82. Then you start seeing that, okay, wow, what a perfect operation. Let's just blame this invisible particle on the fact that people are sick are ready, and you know, let's turn this into a.
Let me push back a little bit on that, because I do believe that the lockdown is overblown. I believe that it's caused enormous damage not only to our economies but to our psyches, and will have lasting harmful effects. But I got to say that I do think that there's for the record, that there's a pathogen out there that's identifiable. You know, this actually goes back to the AIDS debate, you know, which I was around for when AIDS first arose. And they were HIV virus skeptics. And they said, you know, similar to you, they said there's Koch's postulates have not been demonstrated here, that it's not one single virus. It's that these people are immunosuppressed. They're partying all night. You know, it's a little bit of, you know, disparaging towards the gay community. They're taking poppers, and this is suppressing their immune system. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that were said. And then it became abundantly clear that, you know, you probably don't want to take a syringe full of AIDS blood and stick it in your arm and inject it into yourself, because, yeah, it is a transmissible agent. But that being said, what sort of adds the sort of intensity to this debate about censorship is that, I don't know if you look at the news today, but the news was good, because the stock market went up like 1,000 points today. It went up on the prospect, on the very dim prospect, just a scintilla of evidence that maybe we're onto something with a vaccine that can eradicate coronavirus. And that really suggests that this vaccine debate, if anything, is going to intensify. And when it comes to there's a battle being fought here between people who are skeptical about vaccines, people who believe there should be vaccine choice, as you put it nicely. We're not anti-vax, but, you know, we should have, you know, informed consent, and we should make reasonable decisions as individuals, versus this notion that we may say, look, this is it. Everybody, line up. This is going to be mandatory. If you are over 65, if you have a comorbidity or, you know, some sort of vulnerability, you need to get this vaccine, and there's going to be a big push. And what's undermining their effort to develop herd immunity with a vaccine is, you know, the anti-vaxxer contingent, you know, where 30% of Americans are highly suspicious of vaccines at the very least.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Well, I mean, when it comes to, you know, the whole point around whether or not the WHO or the U.S., you know, statistics agency says that you should test for the virus in cases of people who died ostensibly from the virus. Like, to me, that's such a red flag. Like, why would they do that? Like, if there was, I mean, again, so I would just suggest one thing, which is that if anyone is interested in that topic, go to questioningcovid.com. It's just a site that curates various clinicians, MD scientists, and their work trying to ask the question, what did happen? Why is the case fatality rate so low if they're telling us that everyone's going to die if they don't, as healthy, law-abiding citizens, stay in their homes pretty much indefinitely? Like, how does that make any sense? I mean, I think it's worth at least asking that question, because otherwise this will become, as you're saying, which you're correct, a permanent lockdown until, quote, a vaccine is ready. And by the way, Bill Gates is the one who said that from the beginning. He doesn't even have a degree. He certainly has never practiced medicine, but he's determining health policy for the world right now.
Bill Gates is an individual who, you know, you could say, well, he's going to make a lot of money. I'm not sure he, when he had that much money, I'm not sure he needs that much money, but he's a guy who probably earnestly believes that, you know, what do you do after you've become the richest man in the world and you've sold everybody in the world a computer? What's left? Well, is to do something that is amazingly helpful to humanity. I mean, I actually think he probably is motivated from a positive orientation towards leaving a legacy as the greatest individual ever lived, saved humanity, transformed worldwide healthcare, you know, say what you will. But that being the case, he's not a nuanced thinker. He's not looking at the potential downsides to a vaccine. He's not looking at the potential consequences of saying, let's lock down until it's safe to go outside again, kiddies. And that seems to be a prevailing attitude that a lot of politicians, a lot of people in power are taking. And, you know, regardless of whether you believe that the coronavirus is serious or not serious, does it merit these draconian methods to keep us inside, to limit our activities, and in fact, to silence dissent? There's a lot that's happening that, you know, a few months ago we couldn't have envisioned.
Yeah, no, I think we can agree there that as far as what's happening right now, even if this is a complete farce, right, and there is no exceedingly lethal strain of COVID causing the deaths that are, again, being reported as COVID deaths without having to actually test and confirm a virus is present, that's highly suspicious. Well, we can agree that we are seeing draconian regulations and agendas being rolled out at warp speed, literally, right? Isn't that the branding for this vaccine?
Yes.
Vaccine, right? The vaccines take 10 years.
Right.
If you're doing a good job to make sure you're testing it for safety and efficacy, this is going to be, by the way, a type of vaccine that will require the tinkering with our RNA and DNA. That's the very nature of RNA and DNA vaccines. There's never been one approved yet for human use, and yet they're rolling this one out in a way that speaks to what is essentially transhumanistic agenda, unfortunately. I mean, it's well established that you can't replace natural herd immunity, right? Like, the whole concept came from observing, you know, natural organisms in their environment deal with what appears to be contagious disease and develop resistance and even greater resilience because of exposure. It's not in spite of it. So what they're doing by assuming that we are just going to lock ourselves down and of course with an army of contact tracers that are now being hired, never even expose ourselves to this it really doesn't make any sense.
It really is. I think the conventional health establishment is this is their hill to die on. That this is an enormous crisis. Their entire credibility is staked on this and their response to it. And, you know, they want to demonstrate, you know, all the epidemiologists and all the modelers and all the vaccine experts want to demonstrate that this is a triumph of modern medicine. And we hope for the sake of, you know, the vulnerable individuals that this will be. But, you know, I wonder if there, you know, isn't a fervor here that could actually have some negative consequences. Okay, we're going to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Our guest is Zaire G. He's founder of Green Med Info, which is a great resource. We'll tell you how to get there. I think you have, these days, you have to go to a back alley and you have to knock on the door. They slide the window up. It's like a speakeasy. And then you say the password and then you can get in. Is that right?
No, it's pretty straightforward still. Just greenmedinfo.com, thankfully.
Okay. Great. Okay, and it's delivered to you in a
brown paper bag.
Brown paper bag. Exactly what I was going to say. Unobtrusive. You know.
That's
So we're, you know, great minds think alike. That's okay. That's how you're going to have to market it. Is, you know, it's something illicit.
Yeah,
all right, but it's not. It's a lot of common sense information. Great resource. The book is Regenerate: Unlocking Your Body's Radical Resilience Through the New Biology. We'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.